Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. So today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about World Laughter Day and the idea of enlightenment in Kriya Yoga. We will discuss the possibilities and degrees of laughter from happiness, learn the differences between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. The levity of laughter may be a way to lighten up our identity to conform with the divine law seeking expression. Welcome to The Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and enjoy the benefits of eternal happiness. So Swami, as always, I did some research on our subject matter today, and I have some information about World Laughter Day that I'd like to share with everybody. And this information I got from www.worldlaughterday.com. So World Laughter Day was founded by Dr. Madan Kataria. He founded the World Laughter Yoga Movement in 1995. Well, in 1998, that was the first World Laughter Day that took place in Mumbai, India on the 11th of January. With 12,000 members from local and international laughter clubs joined together for that particular session. So the first World Laughter Day outside of India took place in the year 2000 in Copenhagen, Denmark, and they called it Happy Demic. So basically, I guess what we need to understand is World Laughter Day is celebrated on the first Sunday of May every year in most large cities around the world. And throughout the world, there are clubs called laughter clubs, and people get together, and then that's what they do. This year's World Laughter Day, there is a theme for this year, and it's called World Peace Through Laughter. The whole world is an extended family. Join a community laughter club and it's free. So they're encouraging everybody to get together and then experience the joy and the happiness of being together. So Swami, wanted to get your thoughts on that. You read more about World Laughter Day. They explain that laughter is the best medicine, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if laughter is the best medicine. I think that there are benefits that can come with laughter. I still think that the presence of divine law is without a doubt the best medicine that we can access as a human being. Mm. And so I did read Norman Cousins' book on the anatomy of a disease and how he used laughter actually to heal himself of a terminal illness. He would watch funny movies and try and make himself laugh, and eventually it healed. The more I delve into this concept of healing and understanding the human experience, I think it's important for us to understand that there's a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. And a lot of times we don't have, I want to say, clear definitions of what these different terms might mean, and what is it like when I'm trying to experience myself at a different level of consciousness or a different degree of awareness.
Well, I was reading more about Dr. Kataria, and he says that, or he claims that he's worked on the facial feedback hypothesis, that one's facial expressions have a deep impact and effect on one's emotions and feelings. my understanding is that when we work on our own emotions and feelings and we become something different than what we're used to, you know, we become more happy people, then that's going to lead us to being or treating other people, you know, with joy and compassion. And that therefore is what brings peace to the world.
Yeah, again, a lot of it has to do with what it is that we're drawing from. And a lot of it has to do with what are my goals and objectives. And especially when I'm listening to what you're saying, and this whole movement began with, I think you said, laughter yoga. And of course, again, laughter yoga, here's a kind of a secular application of a spiritual science. So to me, it's a self-made system, and it's supported by human concepts, as opposed to a spiritual system that is supported by truth, divine law. And difference here is that one works from effect. One works from what is being shown through the testimony of our senses. And the other one works through cause, which is something that's invisible and intangible. And they do work together because in the final analysis, the medium is the message, that effect is always the cause. But when you work from the top down and you try and understand that the cause is always going to be spiritual, that the cause is always going to be divine law, and divine law is unity consciousness, and divine law is pure goodness, it's pure happiness, that's different than things that are visible and tangible, which are dualistic. Duality is a mix of good and evil. It's not pure happiness. It's happiness and unhappiness. It's always a mix, and it always falls short of the desired outcome simply because it's in half. It's dualistic, and completion can't happen in duality. I see benefit between trying to make yourself laugh. In fact, we've experimented with that a little bit, where we start phony laughing, and the next thing you know, you're really laughing because it's, on some level, it tickles you. It makes you happy, and that's kind of like the same thing that tickling can make you laugh. Somebody touching you in a certain place can make you laugh. It can also make you angry. And so how we're responding, none of this stuff is what I would consider to be demonstrable scientifically, that nothing is going to always work because you're dealing with two powers. You're dealing with duality, which is basically is a false sense of existence to begin with. It's the Buddhist concept of Maya, illusion. We're in a hypnotic trance to begin with. And what we're really trying to do with a spiritual practice of yoga is this whole thing of enlightenment, this awakening in divine likeness, which is not just a concept that can be associated with this feeling of being happy.
Well, from what I've been reading, you know, they state that laughter does something physiologically for us, I guess. And it's interesting because they talk about that laughter is a gift. Otherwise, why would Santa Claus come and say, ho, 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 giving you a gift? And I just thought that kind of tickled my funny bone.
Yeah, that is kind of comical. I think any kind of uplifting feeling, the feeling of happiness, brings us closer to the creative principle. It brings us closer to the truth of our being. But it's also important to recognize that a concept of truth or the intellectual understanding of truth is not truth itself. And that's something that I'm learning in my personal practice these days, that this, the truth that they talk about, this unity consciousness, this unified field, the causal spiritual body, has the power of the creative intelligence. It is the one mind that contains the perfect template for creation. And if we try and do things from effect, like you say, if you examine the body, if you're looking for your clues from the body, you're not really dealing with the cause. You're still dealing with the effect. And it doesn't have the same return that it does if we go directly to the source of creation, if we deal directly with divine law seeking expressions. And of course, it's one thing if we're happy because things are going or seemingly going great in the outside world for us, and we have the testimony of our senses to support that feeling that I'm happy. It's another thing if we can use our thoughts and imagination and creativity to sustain that same feeling. But the thing is that you're dealing with something that is dualistic. It has two powers. You're dealing with the changeless conditions of your personal mentality. It's not the same as if you're dealing with the changeless state of being. If you have the feeling that you're happy because you have life, because you have a relationship with divine law, see, that happiness is happiness with a capital H, because it's absolute happiness. It's not a mix of happiness and unhappiness, happiness and sadness. And that's all it ever can be, is just pure joy, happiness, because you are dealing with the changeless state of being, divine law.
In my research for today's show, I came across quite a few different places that stated that your body doesn't know the difference between a fake laugh and, say, a real belly laugh. So I think that's where they were talking about this physiological change that happens to us. And I understand what you were saying about, you know, about the physical effects of that. But I do think it's different. I do think it's interesting that, you know, we were talking about fake laughing, how it turns into real, you know, laughter afterwards. We had that experiment. But I just think it's interesting that it can still have this effect. You know, and the same thing, like, if you were to just smile, you know, how it changes your voice. You know, like I used to say with the people that used to work with me in a retail environment, used to say, put a smile on your face before you answer the phone, right? And that way it kind of changes or has an effect on how you are to respond.
Right. In the same way we would say it's impossible to be depressed in mountain pose. To be able to stand with your bones supporting you internally and your muscles relaxed and the energy moving through your body in the way that it is designed to move through your particular body, that depression is not possible. Mm. That it has a neutralizing effect on your feeling state. And I agree with all of that. But by the same token, it's also very important to understand that if you have a relationship with your number one need, with the most important force to that is sustaining your life at this moment, with the grace of God, and you have the feeling that you're happy because of it, then you will never have to deal with sadness or depression, or anything that is in discord with absolute goodness.
All right, we're going to stop right here and pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So many, I came across a quote by Mark Twain, and this is actually from Tom Sawyer. The old man laughed loud and joyously, shook up the details of his anatomy from head to foot, and ended by saying that such a laugh was money in a man's pocket because it cut down the doctor's bill like everything. Like I said, Tom Sawyer said that. So I thought that was kind of an appropriate quote for today's show. What do you think about it?
Oh, yeah. Again, that's what we're talking about. But I would imagine the old man there, I mean, he was really laughing. I don't know if it was self-induced or a phony laugh like we're talking about. But again, you know, that concept of fake it until you make it. A lot of people get by with that. I don't have any judgment on it. Whatever works, whatever your goals and objectives are. Because like we're saying, I mean, there's a difference between a false sense of existence and we're managing conditions and a true sense of existence and we are experiencing perfect creation, which is basically what I think is just different about the Kriya Yoga that we're teaching, that we have set that bar to that goal. And I think anything that is going to have that feeling of levity, anything that will lighten you up so that you can raise consciousness out of this cycle of death and rebirth, out of the testimony of our senses, basically, out of this hypnotic trance of two powers that we're kind of trapped in. And I think levity that's the whole thing of levitation, enlightenment, that as we lighten up, because depression, look at how heavy that is. Look at the density of depression and how it pulls us down into, you know, the darkness. And we really want to try and lift ourselves up into the light. And laughter does that on, I think, across the board.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. If we put ourselves in a joyous state, if we can learn to do that all day, every day, doesn't that help lift our consciousness up? Because isn't that what God would want us to be, in a higher state of consciousness? And would laughter and happiness kind of elevate that, and not only yourself, but the people around you?
Yeah, exactly. And think about it. Think about the command of Scripture. If you look at Scripture, you look at wisdom, they're really all telling us to do the same thing. On a very fundamental level, they're saying if you want to be successful in life, you put God first. Now, of course, we don't understand what this looks like when we're doing it. We don't really know what God is. Most of us are using a concept of God rather than divine law, which is divine presence that is sustaining our lives. But if you can drill down and you can figure out that if you can use what you need to produce this feeling that I'm happy, that the availability of your number one need now is associated with your peak experience feeling that I'm happy. Look at what you're doing for yourself, because the life force is our number one life-sustaining force, and it is associated with thought, which is our number one life-sustaining need. And I'll even say, for example, I mean, like we say in yoga, breath is your number two life-sustaining force, and pranayama is the science of the association between the relationship between life-sustaining force number one, thought, and life-sustaining force number two, breath. But if you're alive and you're not jumping with joy, then really the problem is you don't have a belief in God. You don't have a belief in your number one need. You're looking for something else. And that's what the practice of yoga is. This union of the individual with the divine means that you're using what you need to produce the feeling that you're happy. And when the simple fact that you're alive is associated with your number one need, then you're jumping with joy simply because you're alive.
Well, I have another quote from Mark Twain. I like this one a lot. The human race has one really effective weapon, and that is laughter. And I like that because it's not just the fact that laughter is a weapon, but just because of everything that you're just saying, is that laughter can be that stepping stone to changing how we look at our environment. Because if we end up being more joyous people, then we're going to look at everything differently. We're going to stop the judgment, and then we're going to be able to be more equipped to demonstrate those qualities from or of our divinity.
Right. And at that point, if you really start to unpack that statement, when you get to the point of the oneness of all, then there is no need for any weapons at all, because that's that whole thing of weaponry is really a belief in two powers. It's a belief in good and evil. It's a belief in sin, sickness, suffering, and death. It's not optimal. And this true peace that they talk about is when we have a belief in the oneness of life, when we have a belief in divine unity, that there's only one power, and it's only good. That levity, that elevated sense of selfhood is really what brings the peace that we're looking for.
Yeah, and again, I had got this information about laughter. And it says here, they say laughter is the best medicine. And to add to it, we can say that it is also the best gift that we can give to ourselves and to the people around us. And I think we've kind of discussed that already. Had it not been a gift, why would even Santa Claus enter our house on Christmas Eve with a loud ho, ho, ho? I know we just talked about that earlier, but I think if you really unbox that, and of course we've talked about Santa Claus before in the past, I think it kind of echoes everything that we're talking about.
Right, but again, we do it from effect and not from cause. And so what happens is with that is that now we have the association between the gift or the present that makes us happy, when in fact what we really want is happiness. And when happiness is the cause, then you have supply. It's very different than you have dependency upon something external that you associate with the feeling. When you have happiness consciousness, then you exude happiness. You are happiness. You are pure joy. And that is different than when you're happy because of something, because that's a belief in two powers.
So I want to get back to using laughter as a healing modality, if you will. So I do have some information about that, too, that I gathered from online. It says, one quote here is, "Everybody knows that laughing feels good, but few realize how valuable these tools can be in improving our everyday wellness and well-being. Laughter cannot heal or solve anything, but it can help to heal and dissolve everything." And so again, you know, you have to wonder, is that just a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like, if we think it's going to help, it will. Or are there people out there that maybe have tried this and are not getting anything because they're just kind of missing the mark? They're not really understanding that there needs to be a connection to something higher than ourselves to make all of this possible.
I would have to say that I think that this connection with something bigger than ourselves is of the utmost importance. And again, there's a lot of methods out there. There's a lot of beliefs out there. There's a lot of human theories that are out there. But they're not backed by divine law. They're not truth, per se. And it works because of the placebo effect. It works because of the simple fact that I believe it's going to work. But it's not going to get you the ultimate goal of life, which is liberation or freedom or illumination. That's all I'm saying. And to have a relationship with divine law is of the utmost importance in order to be able to actualize this ultimate human experience. And again, there's a big difference between what I call worldly happiness, because you are attached to things visible and tangible. You're using things visible and tangible that is associated with your peak experience feeling that you're okay. If you experience intellectual happiness, you're using thoughts or images or imagination to produce this same association between what it is that you feel is going to make you happy and these particular thoughts. But again, you're dealing with two powers. You're still in the changeless conditions of the personal mentality. You haven't accessed what I call truth. You haven't accessed unity consciousness, the unified state. And that, when you have that as your symbol for validation, that is what will produce eternal happiness. And that's absolute happiness, happiness with a capital H. And it's not a mix of happiness and sadness. It's just pure goodness.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this again. So do you think the physical act of laughing, can that help induce this feeling of this eternal happiness that you speak of?
Not if you do it from the bottom up. It can only do it if you do it from the top down. That when you're happy because you have absolutely nothing.
You mean nothing as in the void?
As in the void or the nothing. There is nothing that can be reported through your senses, that it is purely spiritual. And if you're happy with that, then you found the secret to life.
All right, great. Well, I think we're going to start closing down our show for this morning. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit the website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, make comments about this post or give us ideas for future shows you'd like us to consider. Keep those comments coming. We do enjoy hearing from you. Now, next week, we're going to have a great show. We're going to celebrate Mother's Day. And also, don't forget, be sure to listen every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. We'll have a Facebook Live episode for your viewing. So, Swami, how about any other final thoughts or comments about today's show?
Well, I would like to wish everybody success with their plight for happiness, and that if you are inclined, I would say join us so that you possibly don't have to pretend to be happy, but that you can actually get the light in your soul and express the glory of divine unity. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.